Good afternoon, brothers and sisters. It is a blessing that we may come together for a second time this day to join in the worship of our triune God. A particular welcome to all members and visitors and guests who have joined us in worship via the live stream this afternoon. May the preaching of the gospel direct our hearts and minds in faith and trust to our Saviour Jesus Christ and cause us to live our lives to the praise of him. Consistory has the following announcements. Consistory, as elders only, will meet the Lord willing on Monday evening at 8 p.m. in the consistory room. Sister Kira Kramer and Brother Jaden Brolsma from the Free Reformed Church of Darling Downs have indicated their intention to enter into the marriage state according to the ordinance of God. They desire to begin this holy state in the name of the Lord and complete it to his glory. If no lawful objections are brought forward, the ceremony will take place, the Lord willing, Saturday the 5th of December at 1 p.m. at the Free Reformed Church of Darling Downs, with the Reverend D. Poppy officiating. Sister Coral Desnoux and Brother Cameron Farce of the Free Reformed Church of Mount Neshura have also indicated their intention to enter into the marriage state according to the ordinance of God. They desire to begin this holy state in the name of the Lord and complete it to his glory. If no lawful objections are brought forward, the ceremony will take place, the Lord willing, on Friday the 11th of December at 11 a.m. at the Free Reformed Church of Mount Neshura, with the Reverend D. Poppy officiating. An attestation has been requested by Sister Coral Desnoux for the Free Reformed Church of Mount Neshura, and we wish her the Lord's blessing in her new congregation. This afternoon, Reverend Poppy will lead the worship service. Before we commence, let us sing from Hymn 80, verse 1 and 6.
Please rise and lift up your hearts to the Lord. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Amen. Grace to you in peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's now sing a song of praise to our God. Let's sing from Psalm 97, the verses 1 and 5.
Thank you.
This afternoon, we will make a profession of our faith with the church of all ages that have gone before us and also God's people around the world. We'll do so with the words of the Nicene Creed. Let everyone say with me in his heart, we believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. And in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of the Father before all ages, God of God, light of light, true God of true God, begotten, not made, of one substance with the Father, through whom all things were made, who for us men and our salvation came down from heaven and became incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man. He was crucified for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he arose again according to the scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge the living and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And we believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who spoke through the prophets. And we believe one Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and we look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let's now sing together from hymn 4, the verses 1, 2, and 3. Now call upon the Lord in prayer and let's ask God for his blessing. Dear Father in heaven, once again at this Sunday afternoon, we draw before your throne of grace and we do so to praise you and to glorify you. We believe that you are the King, that you are seated on the throne with power and authority. We believe that fire goes out from you and consumes your foes. Those who hate you, Lord, are not able to stand up against you because you are the Lord and because you have the power and because you will exercise your will in this earth. And your will is a good will, Father. You will to save people, to restore them in relationship with you, to reconcile them to yourself, and to have intimate fellowship together with them. When we rebelled against you, you were not willing to leave us there, but you sent your Son to pay the price for our sins and to restore us in communion with you. We're extremely grateful for the work that you've done, Father. We thank you for rescuing us from our sin. We're so grateful for rescuing us from the spiritual forces of darkness that seek to gain control in our lives. This afternoon, Lord, we're going to open your word, and we're going to see how our Lord Jesus Christ has taught us to pray. And he's encouraged us to pray for the coming of your kingdom, that you would establish your kingdom here in this earth, that you would do so in our lives, and that you would also destroy the work of the devil in our lives. We ask, Lord, that you would bless us as we open your word, that we understand the power that you have, your love for us, and your ability to help us. Give us discernment so that we're able to understand how we're being attacked spiritually, and that we're able to stand up in faith under it. Please assist us with your Holy Spirit for Jesus' sake. And we ask that with all humility, Lord, because we don't deserve it, because in our hearts we're attracted to evil. And by nature, we commit a lot of sin. And so we don't deserve your grace. We don't deserve your kindness. Please forgive us for Jesus' sake. And please show us your kindness as an act of grace. It is in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. So this afternoon, I may preach God's word to you, considering the second petition of the prayer that Christ our Lord taught us. He taught us to pray, your kingdom come. And in connection with that, I'd like to read with you actually two passages of the scriptures. I wrote down here Ephesians 6, verses 10 to 18, and I also wish to read the first verses of Colossians chapter 1. So if you can turn with me in your Bible, we're going to read together Ephesians 6, the verses 10 through 18. You can find that on page 1163 of your guest Bible. So Ephesians 6, starting at verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth, boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Sorry, we went to verse 20 there. Then we're going to turn in our reading to Colossians. We'll read Colossians chapter 1. We're going to read the first 23 verses. Colossians 1, verses 1 to 23, page 1168. There God's word continues, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Of this you have heard before in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world it is bearing fruit and increasing, as it also does among you, since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth, just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He's a faithful minister of Christ in your behalf, and has made known to us your love in the Spirit. And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. And you, who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he is now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. If indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. So far, the reading of God's holy word. Now, this afternoon, I get to preach to you the gospel concerning the establishment of the kingdom of God. And when God establishes his kingdom, then he also destroys all those who are opposed to him. We're going to sing of that. It's quite a gruesome song in some ways. Psalm 137 sings of the destruction of those who hate the people of God and who seek to destroy them. So we're going to sing Psalm 137, verses 1 through 4.
Oh,
This afternoon I may preach to you concerning the second petition that our Lord Jesus Christ taught us, your will be done. We're going to look at this as the scripture teaches us about it. It's also been summarized for us in Lord's Day 48 of the Heidelberg Catechism. You can find that on page 561. The question asks, what is the second petition? Your kingdom come, that is, so rule us by your word and spirit that more and more we submit to you. Preserve and increase your church. Destroy the works of the devil, every power that raises itself against you, and every conspiracy against your holy word. Do all this until the fullness of your kingdom comes, wherein you shall be all in all. Then after the proclamation of God's word, we're going to sing together from hymn 44, verses 1, 2, and 3. Dear brothers and sisters, congregation loved by the Lord Jesus Christ, not sure how many of you are familiar with the books of Frank Peretti. Probably the most famous book he's written, the first one, is This Present Darkness. It's a book that talks about spiritual warfare. So what Mr. Peretti does is he writes these novels in which he tells a little bit about the circumstances in a person's life and some of the struggles that they face and some of the difficulties that they're engaged with. But what he also does is, on another level, he talks about the spiritual warfare that they are involved with. And he gives a picture of how the devil and his demons, and also the Lord's angels, have an impact on different people's lives. Now, I have some reservations with the way in which Mr. Peretti speaks about the spiritual warfare that we're involved in, the way he portrays it. He's trying to make sense of it, and he does it in a certain way. But the strength of his approach is that he makes us aware that there is spiritual warfare, that we're involved in a powerful struggle against these powerful spiritual forces. And we're not silent bystanders as this struggle goes on. The real point of the scriptures is that the struggle is about us. The devil and his demons, they seek to attack us. And they seek to gain power in our lives because they wish to draw us away from the kingdom of God. They wish to despoil God's kingdom and bring us into their kingdom. And it's in the context of this struggle that our Lord Jesus Christ teaches us to pray, Lord, will your kingdom come? We're praying, Father, will you please preserve us? Preserve and increase your church. Destroy the works of the devil. Grant that you would protect us, and that you draw us into your kingdom, that we may know with you, and that we may live with you. Well, I preach God's word to you this afternoon with this theme, pray earnestly that God's kingdom be established and Satan destroyed. Now we're going to see two things. In the first place, the nature of the battle, and secondly, our calling in the battle. Now, if I'm not mistaken, brothers and sisters, on one level we know that there is a struggle. We know that the battle is raging, but sometimes in the normal rhythm of life, between doing your job and running after the kids and making the meals and doing the laundry, you can forget that there actually is this battle raging. But the Bible often talks about this conflict. One of the last books of the Bible, it reflects on one of the very first things that happens. It's in Jude 1, verse 6. There it talks about the angels who did not keep their positions of authority, but who abandoned their own home. They rebelled against God. By rebelling against him, they lost their position in heaven. They were thrown out of heaven. Some of those angels were actually thrown, they were bound with chains, and they were thrown into the abyss where they wait for the final day of judgment. The Bible tells us that there's others who are earnestly seeking to lead us astray and to destroy the work of God in establishing his church. And again, you read about that in the first pages of the Bible. It's in Genesis 3. You read the story of how Satan comes and he seeks to tempt Adam and Eve into sin. And he's successful. They fall for his temptations. And they rebel against God. And then you see how often he's involved in seeking to lead people astray and seeking to attack people. Probably the best known stories in the Bible, one would be Job 1 and 2, where Satan attacks Job. God gives him permission, and Satan comes in, and he seeks to destroy this man. He takes away all his stuff. He turns his wife against him. He makes him very sick, and he tries to get Job to rebel against God. Another very well-known example is the example of our Lord Jesus Christ. Luke 4. He starts his public ministry, and the very first thing that happens is that Satan comes and tries to tempt him into sin. Well, it's a battle that continues today, brothers and sisters. We just read from Ephesians 6. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. And since that's the case, Peter, he warns us to be self-controlled, to be sober-minded. 1 Peter 5, verse 8. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. He's moving all over this earth. He's prowling around, that's the image, like a lion. And he tries to find a way to get power in your life. And then he seeks to attack you and to drag you down and to turn you against the Lord, to turn you against his people. You think of the passage in Ephesians 4 where the Lord, he warns us against allowing sin to fester in our lives. Don't give anger a place in your heart. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. Well, that's what he seeks to do. He seeks to entrap us in sin and then get power in our lives. In 2 Thessalonians 2, it talks about the secret power of lawlessness that is at work in our world. Or in 2 Timothy 1, we're told how the devil traps people and he takes them captive to do his will. You know, it's in this context that the Lord tells us that he has established a division between his people and those who are opposed to him. And he says it's one or the other. You can't be a part of both groups. Either you are one of my children, or you're someone who's opposed to me and who hates me and who fights against me. And so he talks about that. When the devil leads Adam and Eve into sin, then one of the very first things that God does is he creates this enmity, this division between the devil and the woman. Genesis 3, verse 16, he curses the serpent. He says, I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. God says, I'm putting a division between those who are mine and those who hate me. The devil and his demons, they'll try to oppose and destroy the church of Jesus Christ. But right away God says they'll not be successful because the seed of the woman, Jesus Christ, will come and crush Satan's head. And so real life, what it means, brothers and sisters, is that there are people who are opposed to the people of God. It's not only the demons out there, it's not only these spiritual attacks that you face personally, but one of the things that the devil does is he uses people, other people, and he aligns together with them and seeks to use them to attack the church of Christ. And so early in Israel's history, the Israelites were slaves in Egypt. They were told about one of these attacks where Satan uses Pharaoh and he tries to commit genocide against the Israelites. He tries to wipe out the church. That was a diabolical attack. It was satanic. Or later on, the Israelites, they faced all kinds of different attacks from all sorts of different people. When David comes as the great king, as the one who's being put on the throne by God, his job is to protect the people of God against all their enemies. You have the Philistines, and the Edomites, and the Ammonites, and the Moabites, and the Arameans, and the Syrians, and the Assyrians, and the Babylonians. And all these nations, they fought against the Israelites. These were demonic attacks against God's people in which they sought to destroy the church of God. Well, it's something that we read in the rest of the New Testament as well. If you serve Jesus Christ, if you love him, if you commit allegiance to him, then the day comes when you'll face attack. The apostles, Christ said to them, when you go out to preach the gospel, you're going to be ostracized. You're going to be put out of the synagogues. They're going to hate you. They're going to flog you. They're going to imprison you. They're going to stone you. They're going to behead you. That's exactly what they experienced. These are powerful attacks from the spiritual forces of darkness. And that's also the reason why the Lord is so opposed to his people flirting with the gods of the nations around them. When they first came into the promised land, the Lord told his people, he says, whatever happens, you can't go along with these people in the way that they worship their gods. Because these people hate me, and they're opposed to me. And what stands behind these gods, it's not just that there's lifeless images, but what stands behind the gods is demons. It's in Deuteronomy 32, verse 16 and 17. There Moses warned the people. He said, whatever you do, he says, you can't intermingle with them because you'll be worshiping demons. And it's later in Psalm 106, the psalmist, he's so upset with God's people because that's exactly what they did. In the verses 34 to 38, they ended up mixing with the nations and they learned to do what they did. They served their idols, which became a snare to them. They sacrificed their sons and their daughters to demons. It's not a little thing to be involved in idolatry. It's demonic. If you realize that something is an idol, if you participate in that, if you actively go along with that, then God says you're aligning yourself with the forces of darkness that are opposed to me and that hate me and that seek to destroy my work. Well, that makes the Lord very upset. In 1 Corinthians 10, you have another story of the same thing. You had some people in the church of Corinth. One day they go along with the pagans to their feasts, and then a few days later, they want to show up at church and go to the Lord's Supper. And God's saying, you can't do that. You can't worship demons one day and 2 days later show up at church and want to worship me. The demons are opposed to me. They try to destroy everything that I do. If you serve them and if you go along with them, there's no way that you're allowed to attend the Lord's Supper and that you can participate in worshiping my name. Well, that shows something of the truth of the struggle, the enmity that exists in the world, brothers and sisters. And it's when you understand that truth, you have a far better understanding of some of the commands that God gave to his people and some of the things that God did to the nations around his people. You know, if you don't understand that struggle, you don't realize that there's this enmity, this division, this antithesis between God's people and the people of this world, then you don't realize that it's really hard to comprehend why God would be so harsh at times. When the Lord sends his people into the promised land, you know, he tells Joshua, he says, you need to wipe out those people. Men, women, children. You need to annihilate them. Complete genocide. Because these people, in the last 400 years, they've given themselves over to evil. They are so sinful that they're completely opposed to me. And they destroy anything that's beautiful and anything that's good. And so I don't want you mingling with them, but I want you to wipe them out. That's also what stands behind a song like we just sang together from Psalm 137. You know, for us, it sounds quite appalling to our modern ears. You have this line that says, O daughter of Babylon, doomed to be destroyed, blessed shall be he who repays you for what you have done to us. Blessed shall be he who takes your little ones and dashes them against the rocks. How could anyone be happy about taking someone else's children and smashing their heads against a rock? Well, the only way that's possible, God says, is if you understand that these people have aligned themselves with the devil and that they're foundationally opposed to the Lord and to his kingdom. that as those who have aligned themselves with the devil, they will do everything to destroy the church of God. Well, if you understand it from that perspective, what's going on in this world, brothers and sisters, is an enormous power struggle. Satan wants the power, and he wants to use his power to destroy people, to destroy all that's good, all that's loving, all that's righteous, all that's holy. He wants to destroy the church of God. He wants to make sure that there's not a person left who knows God, who believes in him, who expects their help in Jesus Christ. And then the Lord says, forget it. That's not happening. I am the Lord, and I'm going to gather my church. And if there are people who are opposed to me and who hate me and who seek to destroy the work that I do, then if they continue in that, then the day comes when I will destroy them. What does it mean for us today, brothers and sisters? Christ says the most important thing is that you need to pray to God. You need to ask the Lord that he would bring about his work in your life and in your church in this world. Father, your kingdom come. So rule us by your word and spirit that more and more we submit to you. Please work in us with your word. Please use the Holy Spirit to enlighten our minds so that we understand who you are, that we understand what you've done for us, that we love you, and that we walk in your ways. And Father, please preserve and increase your church. Please put a hedge around us. We're facing a lot of attacks. There's great spiritual attack. There are powerful ways in which the devil uses means to seek to attack the church. There's powerful institutions within our country which are opposed to God, which are opposed to his will, which are opposed to his church. And so we need to pray to God that he would use his power to keep us safe and to increase his church. We need to pray for the proclamation of the gospel. Then we're also praying that God would destroy the work of the devil, every power that raises itself against him and every conspiracy against his holy will. We're asking that Jesus Christ use the power that he has, that he keeps us safe, that he destroys Satan's work. Now, if you think about it, brothers and sisters, if you pray that prayer, then implicitly you're acknowledging that if it was between you and the devil, that you would lose. You're saying, God, you need to do this because we can't. And that's the truth of it. In Jude, we have this story, Jude 1, verse 8. There it talks about these godless men who slander celestial beings. Scripture says they speak slanderous words, they speak abusively about things they don't understand. And then Jude says, these people have no concept. They don't understand the power of these demons. And he uses the example of Michael, the great angel, one of the archangels, one of the most powerful angels. Well, Michael was in a struggle with the devil. And when he's in this struggle, he doesn't slander him. He doesn't speak against him. The only thing that Michael does is he says, the Lord rebuke you. It's the Lord who has the power. It's the Lord who can help his people. And so at the end of the day, we have to rely upon the Lord. We have to seek his help. So what we need to pray for here, what we are praying for, is we're asking God that he would protect us from the spiritual forces of darkness and that he would destroy Satan and his work. The beautiful message is that Jesus Christ has the power. He ascended into heaven and he's seated at the throne, and God gave him all power over all things. We heard a couple of weeks ago, John 12:31, that Jesus says that the prince of this world is now driven out. Christ is going to drive Satan out. Or in Hebrews 2:14, we're told that Christ shared in our humanity so that by his death he might destroy him who has the power of death, that is the devil. He died to destroy the devil. And he did destroy the devil. And he set us free from the devil's power. The author to the Hebrews, he says, before this time, many people were held in fear because of their fear of death. The devil had this control over them. But now through Christ's death, he's destroyed that. The devil doesn't have control over God's people. because we know that Jesus Christ has died, that he's defeated death, and that our death is not an end, but it's an entrance into eternal life. Or in a similar way, in 1 John 3, verse 8, we're told the reason the Son of God appeared is to destroy the devil's work. The really good news is that Christ accomplished what he set out to do. When he ascended into heaven, Ephesians 1 says, he sat on the throne far above all power and authority, all rule and authority and power and dominion. Or Colossians 2:15 says that he disarmed the powers and authorities and he triumphed over them by the cross. And so now Peter assures us, 1 Peter 3:22, that all angels, authorities, and powers are in submission to him. Christ has the power. He's ruling on the throne. And he uses that power for the good of his church. And so what it means for us, brothers and sisters, is that the most important thing we do is that we rely upon Jesus Christ. We heard the message this morning that we need to be in Christ. We need to believe in him. And it's when we are in Christ, when we believe in him, when we understand who he is and the power that he has, that we're protected from Satan's assaults. You are no longer in darkness. You're no longer in sin. You're no longer in Adam. You're no longer in the flesh. But you are in Christ. And as those who are in Christ, you've been redeemed from the power of sin. Christ destroyed the devil. He defeated him. And he has the power. And when you look to him in faith, and when you rely upon him in faith, then he uses his power on your behalf. And he goes to work. And he sets you free from sin and from the devil. He puts a hedge around you. It says you have faith in him, that you are secure and you're protected from the attacks of the evil one. And the way God does it, brothers and sisters, is through his word. So rule us by your word and spirit that more and more we submit to you. That's the first thing we're asking for when we pray your kingdom come. Well, the Apostle Paul talks about the task that God's given him, Acts 26:17. God says to him, since you're a witness and since I've revealed my word to you, I'm sending you to the Gentiles to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Paul, you have to preach the gospel. And it's when you preach the gospel that people's eyes will be opened. They'll be turned from darkness to light. They'll receive forgiveness of sins. They'll have a place among those who are sanctified. Well, this is the great encouragement that God gives us, brothers and sisters. He wants you to believe in Christ, to know Christ, to be found in him. He wants you to understand the power that Christ has so that you look to him, that you may be strengthened by him. That's the prayer that Paul offered for the Colossians. We read together from Colossians 1. In the first part of that book, the very first verses there, he thanks God for the faith that the Colossians have in Christ Jesus. That's the most important thing. They know Christ. And it's because they know Christ that they're set free from the powers of darkness. And that's the big issue for the Colossians. They lived in a world where they were terrified by all these spiritual forces of darkness. In Colossae at the time, there were many temples throughout the city. And people believed that there were these powerful spiritual beings that had control over other people's lives. And that you needed to worship the right being in order to protect yourself from any harmful thing happening to you. And it's in the middle of that worldview that the Apostle Paul says to them, he says, I am so thankful that you have faith in Christ. And then he continues, he says, I pray that you may be given wisdom, spiritual wisdom and understanding. I pray that you may be strengthened with God's power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. You need spiritual wisdom. You need to know Jesus Christ. You need to understand that he is supreme, that he's seated on the throne, that he has the power and authority, and that you need to pray to him and rely upon him and look to him in faith. He's the only one who can rescue you from the kingdom of darkness. Now, it's actually the message also of Ephesians 6. When you read Ephesians 6, the Lord calls us to put on the full armor of God. But it's really striking in that passage, the first thing that it talks about is being strong in the Lord. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. And then Paul talks about what that looks like. He says, we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. And so he says, you need to put on the armor of God. And he talks about a bunch of things. You have to fasten the belt of truth, put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, you have to put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. You have to take up the shield of faith. You have to have the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. And what's so striking about each one of those things is that these are all quotations from Isaiah. And when you go back to Isaiah, and when you see what the prophet is saying about those things, he's saying that the Messiah is going to come, and he's going to have this armor. And so Jesus Christ has this armor. He's fought the battle. And when he fought, he defeated the devil. And so what God is calling us now to do, when he says you need to put on all these things, what he's really saying is he's saying you need to believe in the Lord Jesus. And you need to be secure in his power for you. That's the greatest thing, is to know Christ. And to know what he's done. Because it's when you know who Christ is and you know what he's done, then you're saved and you're protected from the attacks of the devil. Satan can shoot at you with his flaming arrows. But if you have faith in Jesus Christ, then he can't hurt you. You're protected. Well, sometimes, brothers and sisters, you're in the middle of the battle, and you're discouraged. Sometimes you face serious challenges. There are days where sin and the devil seem to have the upper hand. Sometimes it happens that you see the spiritual attacks. You see it happening in your family. You see it in a church. There's serious division that threatens. Or sometimes it happens where you see real brokenness in families. Sometimes it's a personal thing. On a very personal level, you struggle against sin. And you know your sin. And you hate it. And you want to flee from it. It's in that context, then you can pray to your Lord. And it says you know Christ, and as you're secure in his power, that he will use that on your behalf, and he'll protect you and keep you safe. And the Lord also comforts you that you must know how the battle will end. Satan will not win because Jesus Christ has defeated him. And so God comforts you in a passage like Daniel 2. He says, the day is coming when God's work is going to reach fulfillment. He talks about these kingdoms of the world, one kingdom after another, and they're powerful kingdoms. They dominated the whole world. And then another kingdom came and dominated that kingdom. And over the history of the world, that's something we've seen happen over and over again. But in the middle of all that, the Lord says that Daniel saw this tiny stone. And the stone came, and it struck the statue, and it destroyed the statue. And they blew away. But the stone itself, it grew bigger and bigger, and eventually it filled the whole world. Well, God accomplishes his work. He sends out his word. And it's when his word goes out that he brings people into the kingdom. That's actually the only offensive tool that the Apostle Paul speaks about in Ephesians 6. Every other thing he talks about is defense. In every way, we're trying to stand firm. That's a word that gets used four times in Ephesians 6. The big objective for the people of God is to make sure that you're standing at the end of the day. Stand firm and resist the devil so that in the end you may stand. But it's in that context that there is one thing where the Lord seeks to despoil the kingdom of the devil. That's by means of his word. It's when the word goes out that God brings people into his kingdom, that he destroys the kingdom of the devil because people come to faith in Jesus Christ and they belong to him. And so he encourages us in the very last verses of this chapter that we pray. Paul says, above all else, he says, pray for each other, but then also pray for me that words may be given me, that I may preach the gospel with boldness, because that's the way in which the kingdom of God is established and the kingdom of the devil is destroyed. And so when you pray, your kingdom come, brothers and sisters, you're praying not only to stand firm through to the end, but you're also praying that God would bring other people into his church so that his work would reach fulfillment and that Jesus Christ would return on the clouds of heaven. Let's often pray that prayer and let's rely on Christ to fulfill it. Amen. Let's sing together. We're going to sing from hymn 44, the verses 1, 2, and 3. Upon the Lord in thanksgiving and prayer. Dear Father in heaven, your kingdom come. We pray, Lord, that you would please gather your church. We ask that you would protect us against the assaults of the devil. We ask, Lord, that you would send your word into this world so that many people may believe in you, that you would gather your people into your kingdom, and that the day may come where Jesus Christ returns to the clouds of heaven. Father, we ask that you would please protect us in the meantime. We pray that we may have great faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, that we may understand the power that he has, that we may rely upon his strength, and that in this way that we may be protected against the devil's assaults. Father, thank you for putting us into a church. Thank you for the communion of the saints. Thank you that when one of us is attacked, that we have brothers and sisters around us who love us and who will protect us, who will encourage us and support us, who will bring your word to us and assist us to continue in faith. Lord, please help us to love one another. Help us to live in unity together. Give us your Holy Spirit that we can build each other up with your word. But we also pray for our world. We live in a world, we live in a society that has rejected you. It's really in the last 100 years, there's quite a profound rejection of any knowledge of you. And initially, Lord, our society is still built on many laws and many customs and many practices that were based on the gospel. And so we're so blessed that we can live in this time where there is so many good laws and there's so much righteousness in our society. But at the same time, Lord, we recognize that there's a real vacuum there. When people reject you, then they need to turn somewhere else. And then the spiritual forces of darkness, they seek to fill people's lives with all sorts of other things. And as people give themselves over to idolatry, Lord, the end is that people are opposed to you. And they have so much darkness in their lives. There's so much chaos that has such a profound influence, not only in their lives, but also often on us as your people. And so, Lord, we pray for your protection. We ask, Father, that you would please help us, that we can testify to the gospel of grace. Please give us your help so that we can speak to those with whom we have contact, that we can tell them about who you are and what you have done, and that in this way that people may believe in you. Please bless the proclamation of the gospel that happens here every Sunday, Lord. Please bring people to us so that they can hear the good news, that they can believe in our Lord Jesus, and that they may be saved. And then, Father, bless also the efforts that we make to share this gospel with others. There's some Bible studies that are happening in our church where some of us as your people are studying your word with others who are interested. And we pray that you would give them faith and that you would draw them to yourself. We're thankful, Lord, for the work that happens at Pindari. We're grateful for the work that Tim and Tanya do and all the other work that's being done to share the hope of the gospel with these men. And we pray, Lord, that you please give them faith and that you draw them to yourself, that you allow them to know you and to grow in a relationship with you and to save them from darkness. And then, Father, we also pray that you would bless each one of us individually in the relationships that we have, in the context we have with those who don't know you, that we have the courage to testify to you, and that this may be a blessing for others. Lord, we pray also for the mission work that we're supporting in Papua New Guinea. Please grant that the light may shine in the darkness. Grant, Lord, that you would gather your church, and that you protect us, that you enable us to stand through to the end, and that when all is said and done, that we may stand. And we ask that with good hope, because Jesus Christ has the power, and he will accomplish his work. Father, we pray that you would please be with us in the coming week. I'm grateful for the year 12 students, that they're able to finish their education. We want to ask, Lord, for a blessing over their graduation. Give them a delightful time together, that they may celebrate these good gifts that you've given. Please also assist them with your Holy Spirit, that they know where to go in the future, how they can use their gifts in the service of your name. And please grant that they may be useful servants in your kingdom to build up your church. Father in heaven, we also wish to ask for your blessing over the rest of us and in all the other tasks that you've given us. Please be with the fathers and their families, that they can provide good leadership for the families, that they can train up their children to know and love you. And please bless the mothers as well, that they can nurture the children, that it may go well in the families, that there's safety and protection, that our children have a place where they can go, where they can not be attacked, but they can be kept safe and protected, where they can be nurtured in faith in you. Father, we thank you that this happens, and we pray that it may continue, and we pray for your blessing. We also pray, Lord, that you would please work in the hearts of those people who no longer worship with us faithfully. There's some people who don't want to be here, Lord, and we ask that you would bring them back to us. And where there's unbelief, that you give faith, and where there's rejection, that you bring repentance, that they may turn to you, that they may seek your face and receive your grace. Thank you for having the power, Lord. We pray that Jesus Christ would do it. Please also bless us in the rest of the things that we do, Father. Grant that we may have a blessed day for the rest and fellowship with each other, and that we have strength and energy for a new week. It is in Jesus' name that we ask all these things. Amen. Brothers and sisters, once again this afternoon, the collection is for the work of the Canadian Reformed Theological Seminary. You're going to have the opportunity to give your thank offerings on the way out of church, or else if you're worshiping with us via the live stream, you can do that electronically. And then at this time, I invite you to rise, and we're going to sing together in closing from hymn 53, the verses 1, 2, 3, and 4.
More so life also.
Receive now the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.